Welcome to all our guests. Thank you for joining us this morning. This morning, on this day of Pentecost, we are going to look at a text in which Jesus really tells us how inseparable he is from God the Father, and that we too are inseparable from him. We will also see that he planned on sending his Holy Spirit so that we could partake of this divine nature. And we will also see that when we believe in Christ, we are changed, and God uses his Spirit to enable us to do what he has called each and every one of us to do. And because he has promised this, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 8 through 27. And I am going to ask this morning that you go ahead and sit, because this, is a very long text, and then I don't have to feel bad about going through it slowly. And so, reading in Jesus' name, John 14, verses 8 through 27. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Philip, he that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He that doeth the work, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. But if ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father that he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to see you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye shall see me. Because I live, ye shall also live. And at that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words. And if my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. Not a very long text, but really, when I was looking at it, you almost had to even include more. You had to kind of go back up into chapter 13 to find out when this was. This was during the Last Supper, just before the death of Jesus Christ. And it was a time in which he had just washed the disciples' feet. He had served them their communion. And he tells them the beginning of chapter 14. Let your hearts not be troubled. Believe in me, or believe in God, and believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I would not have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way where I am going. And Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where we are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you had known me, you would have known that my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Now what Jesus really does within this text is he makes it absolutely plain that there is no separation between him and God. We kind of like to sometimes separate out Jesus from God. But Jesus is letting his disciples know there is no separation. The will of Jesus Christ is the same as the will of God. The will of God is the same as that of Jesus Christ. There's no separation between the two. God himself is going to the cross for us in the person of Jesus Christ. And this is really where our text picks up. Our text comes to us that they aren't supposed to be worried. Jesus has told them about his death. And of course, the disciples are like any other human being. They're worried. And so Jesus lays it down for them. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. You know, this is where he comes to. He says, don't worry about that. I have everything under control. God's plan is happening for us. And Philip, at the beginning of our text, really asked the question that probably most of us, had we been there, would have asked. Well, show us the Father. You know, we've been hanging out with you this whole time. Who's the Father? Jesus said, I have been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. And this is what we really have to understand. You want to know who God is? Look to the person of Jesus Christ. Look to him. See what he does. See how he treats people. See how he forgives. See how he takes care of the lowly. See how he loves even those who are unlovable. See who he uses as his disciples. Not priests and Levites, but Galileans, fishermen, tax collectors, zealots. He uses people. That's who Jesus Christ is. That's who God is. He is calling all people. And so he goes on to ask Philip now the question, which is the way Jesus seems to handle these things when people ask him direct questions. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is me? Do you not understand that we are one? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does this work. Now see, there is no separation. These words that Jesus Christ is proclaiming to his disciples and is proclaimed throughout his ministry are directly from God himself, because he is God. He's a human being, and yet he possesses the divine nature. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on the account of the works themselves. You've seen the miracles. You've seen me feed 5,000. You've seen me raise the dead, give sight to the blind, made the lame walk. And Jesus says, if you don't believe me for the words that I have given you, believe me for what you have seen me do. And then he goes on to give a promise to those who would believe him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do. Jesus has set the bar pretty high. We, as believers, are the church. And we will do great things and have done great things throughout history. When the church is working properly and people are fulfilling their roles, it is the most powerful organism in the world. And I say organism on purpose because it is alive and active. It is the body of Jesus Christ moving within the world. And he's going to fulfill and do what, or give us what we need. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And actually, I skipped a verse there, because whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now this is not the vending machine God. Dear God, I wish I had a new car. And he's going to give that. This is not preaching that, well, if you pray hard enough, then he'll give you whatever you want in material things. This is for the glorification of Jesus Christ. He is basically telling us that if we need anything to bring his word and his gospel to this world, that all we need do is ask. And he will give it to us. And it's been used in all kinds of other different ways. But it is really has to do with the proclamation of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the sacrifice for our sins. And then he goes on to tell the disciples what they will do if they believe him. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. A new command I give unto you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. These are really the two commandments that Jesus gives us in the New Testament. And these are hard enough in and of themselves. We kind of think, well, there's just two. We should be able to handle that. But he knew that we couldn't. He knew that we wouldn't. And so he gives us the helper, the one whom we celebrate today, the Holy Spirit. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. This is not Jesus coming and then being taken up into heaven. The Spirit now dwells with mankind all of the time. And it was interesting, because as I was looking at our text out of Acts that I read earlier, the prophecy from Joel, and that the last days it shall be, declares God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And all your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men dreams, and even your male servants and female servants. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. They shall bring the word of God. Now we have to understand that this spirit was given to mankind, to all flesh. We have the power as human beings to reject it. We have the power to blaspheme the Holy Spirit and to reject that Spirit. And that's the unforgivable sin. That we would reject the help that God has given us to believe. Because there is no understanding of the Word of God and of the Scripture unless the Holy Spirit intercedes with and for us. And we'll hear that towards the end of our text, that all these things come by the Spirit of truth. But God has been very gracious to mankind. And He promised it within the Old Testament, that His Spirit would be given unto mankind, unto all flesh. And His gift of salvation, His forgiveness, would be for the world. You see, it has been given to you and to me and to all people. And our calling is to go out and to proclaim that and to let the Word and the Holy Spirit, the Word work by the power of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, that they too would come to understand not only that God sent His Son to die for them, but indeed that we are all children of God. We have been adopted into His family. Now, adoption means a little something to me that to some people wouldn't understand, but I have an adopted brother. And he chose to be adopted. And my dad chose to adopt him. But there's no separation as far as we look at it in the family. He's not the adopted brother. He's the brother. And that's the way God looks at us. We are heirs, co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Meaning all the riches that God gave to the Son, He is going to share with us. Same thing within my household. When my dad gets ready to divide up the whatever's left at the end of his life, it will be given unto all of us as his children, including the adopted one. And this is really what comes down, is God is letting us know how close we are to Him. Even the Spirit of truth, verse 17, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him or knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. This is a promise. We a lot of times like to look at ourselves as evil creatures, as people who are sinners, and that, man, we just barely reach enough and feel bad enough we'll make it to heaven by the skin of our teeth. That is a very poor way of looking at what Jesus Christ has done for us. We take part in the divine. As there is no separation between the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, there is now no separation between us and Jesus Christ. He indwells us and we in Him. We take part in the divine. Now, does that mean that we are perfect? No. but we partake in God. I didn't say these things. Jesus did, right here. And I know because I've heard it. You can't say that. Everybody's gonna think they're gods. Sorry. God has chosen to place us in that position. We now take part of the divine nature of God through the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. This is one of the greatest promises. That one who was victor over sin, death, and the devil has now made us part of him. How much more so are we victorious over the sin that we have here? It's time we started to live in the Christus Victor, in the victory of Jesus Christ. And quit looking at our sin and quit worrying about it and live in the positive that Christ has died for us and died for the world. And there is nothing that can separate us from Him. Because if we start to live there, we start to be the people that He has created us to be. Because it's who we are. It becomes very easy to keep His commandments. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he is it who loves me. And he who loves me will love my Father, and I will love them and manifest myself in them. By the power of this flesh, absolutely. Cannot do it. But this flesh is dead and dying. It is not who we are. We are new creations in the person of Christ Jesus, and we can live in the victory despite this flesh hanging on. We can know without any doubt that we are children of God by the power of the Spirit witnessing within us, and we can love others, and we can love God. Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Now it almost seems as if he's setting apart the world from us. But really what that, as I was looking at it and I was thinking about it, especially last night, what Jesus is saying, those who reject him and reject the promises that he gives them, they will end up not keeping those commands. They will end up not seeing that God and Jesus are one. Whoever does not love me does not keep my word. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. And so now he's talking about the words that he has explained to them over time, over these last 3 years. And he says that the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's. Again, those words of Jesus Christ and the words of the Father are inseparable. And now, to help us to understand it and to believe it, he says this, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. You see, even those guys that were with Jesus for all that time heard his teaching, walked with him, were able to question him, didn't really understand what was going on. It wasn't until the gift and the activation of that gift of the Holy Spirit that they understood. And all those things that Jesus had told them started to come back, started to be fresh to them. It was interesting because last night as I was looking at this, the whole idea about what the prophet Joel said came out to me again. You know, and in these last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. What a promise. That all mankind will receive or will have given to them the Spirit of God. They will not all receive it. Many shall reject it. But it has been given to them. God has shown His love to them, not only by dying upon the cross, but giving them everything that they know that that they need so that they could believe it. And with this, we have peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Jesus Christ has given us peace between God and ourselves. That means there's nothing that separates us from God, to the point that we partake in the divine through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the third person of the Trinity. We live in the victory of Jesus Christ. And there is nothing that can separate us from Him. So no matter what we face in this world, the worst thing that can happen to us is we can die and be killed. And that's the best thing. And so we have His peace. There should be a comfort within our lives that we don't need to worry about what happens here. Do not let your hearts be troubled. I am with you. That promise is day to day, hour to hour, minute to minute. He is not going to let us go. And we should certainly not be afraid. We live in the victory of Jesus Christ over sin, death, and the devil. There is nothing that we have to fear. The only thing that can happen to us is we can die. And again I say it, what better thing? Because then we dwell where He dwells, as He told us in the beginning.